Thank you so much, and good evening to all of you. The weather is becoming so much beautiful in this part of the country, and I deeply appreciate this opportunity to be here with you guys on this Sunday evening. It is a treat for me. It is wonderful, and I must confess that I didn't have any particular preparation. For I understand that tonight is just a sharing from the heart on what my journey has been on this path to really understand what is that we are, what is that is our goal, our priority to become the. What is that we are here for? So tonight to begin, once again, I would love to share, I want to share a prayer that I have from one of the Pathways ministers, I'm sorry, one of the Pathways of Light ministers that a week ago, he passed away, he died, he didn't wake up at his home in Ormond Beach, Florida. And he had a beautiful ministry. He reached out to all the people that are in jails, in incarcerated today, both men and women. And his ministry was very simple, was to bring A Course in Miracles, or basically, A Course in Miracles to the prisons. If a prisoner wanted to know more, how could they be allowed to get in touch with someone on the outside world to chat, discuss, and actually how to get a copy of the book? And he did that because his life happened to take him on a very convoluted path. He was involved in a lot of dependency, you know, alcohol and drug use, and he ended up about 10 years in jail, I believe. I was fortunate to be present the day of his ordination. His name was Reverend Joe Wolf. And I really appreciate the effort that he did to share this path of understanding who we are with people that are incarcerated and didn't have many opportunities or ways to do it. So in honor to Reverend Joe Wolf, who died Saturday a week ago, I would like to share with you guys one of the prayers that he distributed to all of us that are ordained ministers of Pathways of Light. And this is how it goes. Prayer for all solutions. I invite you that if you are in a position where you could close your eyes and just follow my words, if you could do that, that will be awesome. Dear God, I love you. God, you created me. I live in you, and you live in me. It is only my own limited, unconscious guilt and my beliefs in this false personality identity that we call ego that keeps me separated, alone, and confused. Dear God, thank you for everything you give me. God, Grant me the power to live in your presence. Grant me the power to accept your unconditional love as I learn to forgive. Dear God, allow me to remember that you are with me always, in every breath I take, in every moment, in all thoughts, in all actions and feelings. God, remind me many times during the day until every second becomes another moment spent living with your loving embrace and constant presence. Dear God, allow me to be a servant of your will, a vehicle of divine love and a channel of God's will. Heavenly Father, give me direction and divine assistance as I surrender all personal will to the devotion of you. Allow me to help to dedicate my life to the service of your love. Grant me the ability to choose love and peace above all options while I commit to the goal of unconditional love and compassion for all life and all its expressions as I surrender all judgments to you, dear God. God, make me aware that the world of my ego is a constant and tenacious tendency to react, to feel bad, to feel guilty, mad, to feel defeated, bored, scared, to feel inferior, embarrassed, annoyed, lonely, or superior and condescending. All these give validity to judgment, regardless of the form, and by reacting with judgment, I feed and strengthen the ego's world and reinforce the seeming reality of a separation from you. Dear God, please remind me constantly to view all others as my brothers, to realize that we are all one, and to forgive them, for they are one with me, joined in one mind, and also innocently caught in the ego's identification with the world of illusion. Never let me forget that I am not this temporary body, but pure spirit created in your likeness. As I continue to live every moment in the knowledge that you are with me always where I am. You, God, the Alpha and the Omega, the All and Everything, the Absolute. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. This is a beautiful prayer, and thank you for sharing, for joining with me in kind of paying a little tribute to Joe, who, like I said, passed away a week ago, and his mission was beautiful, and there were a lot of people following him. So tonight, what I'm going to do, the invitation that I received was to share with all of you my path. Thank you, guys. Yes, it was a beautiful prayer. It is a beautiful prayer. Today, what I'm going to do, it really has no preparation, but the idea is to share what has taken each one of us into this path of awakening, into this spiritual journey where we come, we want to get closer to love. We want to get closer to the reality of a higher consciousness. And for me, to tell you the truth, it has been a very, very bumpy road. I don't know. I think that we all have different challenges in our lives. And mine is not the most difficult one, but it hasn't been the closest one to the world of religion or spiritual practice or anything whatsoever. You see, I was born quite a few years ago. You know, I have some years in my calendar. And I was born in South America. I'm originally from Colombia. And I came to the United States a little while ago. Like I said, I was born in Colombia and I was raised there. I went to college down there. And as a little girl, I remember that there was a fascination for things that nobody spoke about. I always loved to imagine into the stars, into what may lay beyond what we see in the sky with our eyes. I always wonder what must be out there in the stars, how this whole thing was. It was always something that really fascinated me, and I had a desire for science fiction and astronomy all of this, that the understanding of the solar system or the Milky Way, and then all of those things really, really fascinated me. I remember when I was 13 years old, I read three books that really made a big difference in how I thought at the time. I don't think I was even 13 years old. I read, first of all, The Life, History and Passion of Mahatma Gandhi. And that was, I mean, imagine a 12-year-old back then in the early 70s, I guess it was, because I was born in the late 50s. In the early 70s or the end of 1960s, reading those books back in Colombia, in the little, you know, totally different world. And I read it, and it was awesome. And the second book that I read was also called Life, History, and Passion of Lenin. Two opposite personalities, revolutionaries, but in a different way. And the third book that I read was also called Life, Passion, and History of Jesus. Jesus the man, as a revolutionary. And from that I learned that Jesus was a rebel, one of the biggest rebels that there was throughout our recorded history. And that was great. It gave me a very insightful perspective in the life of Jesus. However, as I grew up, this started to change. But the beautiful thing is that when I was very young, I had this connection to the stars, to energy. I used to not know what I was doing, but I would be meditating and closing my eyes and seeing bright colors and even people. But my childhood was very lonely because my dad died when I was very young and I didn't grow up with my mother. So it was very lonely, and I became to be more and more rebel as it could be. And all of a sudden, when I was in my early 20s, after I finished college, I found myself in the United States. And that was something that I didn't want. It was not because, I don't know, I was against that. I went back to Colombia, and because, like they used to say when I was young, that if you are 17 and you are not communist, it's because you don't have a heart. But if you are 25 and you're still a communist, it's because you don't have a brain. So I guess that came to me in my early 30s, and I came to the United States. And I forgot all about this spiritual connection because I became a doer, a go-getter, you know, started my journey in banking. And my daughter was born, and I wanted to make it happen. However, when my daughter was on like 11 years old, I freaked out because I said, oh my God, this is something that I am not prepared for. And I remember something that happened that really changed my perspective is that one day I saw myself talking to my daughter and dealing with my own daughter in the way that as it wasn't me. I saw that it was that I was acting up with the same words, the same actions that I used to receive when I was a little girl, but that I hated so much. And that made an impact so incredible in me. I said, I cannot do this. I saw myself almost like a robot doing the things that they did to me when I was a little girl that I didn't like. I was repeating the story. I was doing the same thing. So I freaked out and I said, I don't know. So all of a sudden I remember the beautiful part of my childhood, the lonely times when I used to wander inside, close my eyes and daydream. I used to make clouds, figures with the clouds. I used to look at the sky. I used to talk to the trees, and I didn't realize what I was doing. But all of that, of course, I forgot. So when my daughter was 11, then I realized, no, I need to change things. It's like what we learn in A Course in Miracles during the experience that Helen Schutman was having with her partner, that they realized that there is got to be another way. That is what happened to me at that moment. I realized I have to find a better way to deal with this beautiful little girl, because she was very smart and she was tough, but not like I was, because I grew up thinking that I wanted the best for her, but she had to learn to be organized. She had to be a go-getter. She had to be bold. She had to be sharp. All of those things. And it's like I wanted to inject that into her body, but I couldn't. And she will stand up. She will not complain. And she will not do it. But it was, oh my God, what am I going to do? So being, I guess that God takes care of us, and when we ask, we receive. The thought that came, I have to find a better way. I was in the banking industry, which I spent about 25 years in international banking. I work for what today is known as Wells Fargo Bank. I was the head of correspondent banking operations for Latin America. And I was sitting in my office, and I remember that was the time of Hurricane Andrew, I believe. I believe it was during that time that there was a chaos. I was in Florida, and there was a chaos all over the city. You know, Andrew did a lot of damage. I remember I was helping the platform, the people in customer service at the bank, even though I was not part of them, but because of the craziness in the bank, I was asked if I could support them, taking care of customer inquiries. And this gentleman came to me, and he spoke to me in a different way. And what ended up happening from this gentleman, I remember his name was Freddy. He invited me to take a seminar that I was supposed to bring three reasons why I wanted to do this seminar and so forth. And to summarize this, this was at the time something like the X trainings that Larry Lohan have shared with you guys in this space. But what I did was called LifeSpring. So I did the whole entire LifeSpring trainings. It took me about 6 months, but I did all of them. And that was a life-changing experience for me, totally. Thanks to the LifeSpring trainings, I got my heart. And that's the expression that I used to say back then. I remember designing what they used to call a contract to myself. And my contract, the way that I draw my contract, it says, I am a loving, caring, and compassionate woman. And let me share with you that during those days, even though my heart vibrations rose very, very high, but that contract was something that I did not really appreciate. I didn't understand it. I was like, I want to be powerful. Why didn't I draw a contract that said I am a powerful visionary leader? But the thing is that it says, I am a loving, caring, and compassionate woman. It took me many, many years to understand what that meant for me and to accept it. And today, I love this contract. I have it in, it is in my Facebook, it is in my YouTube channel. It's every message that you get from me at the end, this is my signature. I am a loving, caring, and compassionate woman. So what happened after the LifeSpring trainings? There was a weekend seminar called Masters. It was a beautiful training, but geared for self-improvement. Geared to bring people on a connection to create team, to be efficient, to be more aware of how to handle people, how to create, you know, something better. Oh, Jimmy, you found your heart through LifeSpring. Awesome. That's wonderful. Yeah, I really appreciate that. That was very fun. That was very fun for me. And this is, I owe what has happened in my life through the trainings on LifeSpring. When I did the master's weekend retreat, which was beautiful. I don't understand. But there is a process that they go there, that we all went through there, that, and this was a process that I had done several times within the LifeSpring setup. But in this particular training, I felt that I was touched by the light. I felt like the hand of God touched my forehead, and I saw all these lights inside of me. It was a very deep, profound spiritual experience. The beautiful thing that happened is that thanks to that beginning of my journey, I am able to have an awesome relationship with my daughter. It is really awesome. I am so proud of the way, not only what she has accomplished in her life, but my biggest joy is to know the kind of relationship that we have. I mean, she's not my daughter. She's my best friend. She is my teacher, and vice versa, because she comes to me just about everything, and we coach each other. Really, actually, we coach each other. So that was one of the beautiful things that happened after the LifeSpring trainings. But the most incredible thing is that through this particular training called Masters, they used to talk about the ego, and they used to talk in a language that I kind of knew a little bit, but I wasn't really aware of all that was going on. Because mind you, something, let me tell you something. When I did these trainings, I was, my what they call my third weekend was in February 1994, and my English, as we say in the Spanish world, my English was not very good looking. And what that means is that my English at the time was not as good as it may be today. And I know that, you know, a foreign language is something that we need to continuously improve, and by all means, I know that's my case. But in 1994, I went through this experience in English. I thought I understand, but a lot of things I didn't. So when I did those trainings, when I finished, the Course in Miracles came into my hands. Somebody shared me, invited me to a Unity church in Miami. It's called Unity on the Bay. They had a Sunday class that they were talking about the ego. And I said, okay, I want to go. I didn't grow up going to church because, you know, my father died when I was 2 years old. And I didn't grow up with my mother. So we didn't have that daily routine that most children had when I was little. They go to Sunday service. No. I went to a school, and when I was in elementary, they would take us once a month to church, but until I did my first communion. But after that, it was up to the family and the parents, and so we didn't go to church. So I didn't grow up with this kind of setup. And even when I read the book, The Life, History, and Passion of Jesus, it was not the spiritual Jesus. It was the rebel guy. So what they were teaching us in Sunday school about the miracles of Jesus, I never believed that, because I said, no, 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 this is a brainwashing. And I used to be very condemning of the Catholic Church, because I used to think they just want to keep you slave, dominated. And so I was very rebel in that respect. And what happened is that I began reading A Course in Miracles. I think it was in 1996 Probably, yeah. I bought the first book and I bought it in English and I share with everyone. With everyone, when I have a chance to give classes, I do lessons in a similar setting on Spanish. It's called El Instante Santo. As a matter of fact, I have a talk on Sunday mornings. I mean, I'm sorry, on Monday mornings. And I have shared with them, and when I have the opportunity to give services in Unity churches or any other church that invites me or that I get to go, I share that with them, that I came to be very rebellious with religion, and my journey took me a long, long time to wake up. And so the LifeSpring, like I was saying, changed my life. In 1996, I began to reading A Course in Miracles. But I read it from the perspective of the mind. I didn't understand the book in English. I thought it was very difficult for me because I didn't have the background or the knowledge of the English language. So what I did is I went and I bought it in Spanish. And I began to read The Course in Miracles in Spanish, and it became a puzzle in my life because I didn't understand that either. And I said, how could it be? I went to college in Colombia. I graduated from a university. I study all my education is been in the Spanish language, so why I cannot understand this book? So it became almost as an obsession that I wanted to understand. I used to read A Course in Miracles back in the late 90s until I will get a headache, and it's still no understanding what it says. So I put it away, not put it like on a closet or anything. I just put it on my nightstand, collecting dust. And I will open it from time to time. I begin to do the forgiveness lessons. But I still didn't understand the book. So I went, there was already a spiritual opening in my mind. So I joined a group in South Florida that it was called Ascended Masters. And I began to read Saint Germain. I began to read this beautiful book that is called The Seven Flames of Light by Aurelia Louise Jones. I still have the Spanish book that was given me by these beautiful people in South Florida in the area called Kendall. We used to have on Thursdays these meditations, and they were beautiful. They were awesome. So I read the book, and I've spent a lot of time into this kind of metaphysical understanding, more than A Course in Miracles. And I became a fan of Saint Germain. I begin to just imagine all these books that I was reading, how it was to be an ascended master, how it was to have a higher consciousness, how, and then I remember all the things that I was reading when I was young about Jesus, and things started to come together into a beautiful puzzle that everything made sense. I remember also studying Kabbalah, and because of my inclinations through space and science, with the new discoveries of quantum science, it was fascinating. And I read all the books that you could imagine. I went through Marianne Williamson, through Deepak Chopra. I went through Wayne Dyer, to Anthony Robbins was one of the first ones when I was doing all these self-improvement, but I felt like it was almost stepping up. First was Anthony Robbins, then was Wayne Dyer when he wasn't too much into spirituality. The first books and I remember going to see him in an auditorium in South Florida. He took me to Deepak Chopra and then Marianne Williamson. When Marianne Williamson came to my world through A Return to Love, I knew I already had this Course in Miracles. So it opened up. And I believe the last one of those books that really hooked me into A Course in Miracles must have been Gary Renard. I don't know how long ago his book came, The Disappearance of the Universe. But that was it for me. So what has happened is that as life takes us in these crazy journeys, I became a manager of the whole entire Latin America correspondent banking group. And banking went through a metamorphosis. Yes, because it was the merging, the takeover. So banking abandoned me. I don't remember exactly when it was, but my unit was dissolved because they were transferring all the operations through, I think it was Brazil, and part of it was going to be sent place in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I said, I don't want to go to Charlotte. I have no rapport, or maybe I'm too Latin and Charlotte, it's something that I don't understand. For whatever reason, I end up not going to Charlotte. And the bank gave me a severance. I stay. And little by little, one day I open up my own business. This was from 2003, I believe, that I opened my own business, or 2002 in South Florida. But, and the Course in Miracles and this spiritual path was always there. I joined Unity Church. And one day I said, maybe I get an ordination through the Unity movement. I don't know. Didn't take it seriously. I never pursued that. And one day in 2010, things changed for all of us. I think that, I mean, it wasn't one day in particular, but in 2010, things began to change, especially in Florida, because the economy started going down the drain. I was in a field that I had to do a lot with medicine. And all the changes, the new insurance, you know, what we still live in today, the changes in the insurance company, my business started going down the drain. And I felt like, oh my God, what is going on? I always been financially secure. I was able to bring this into my life through my career, through my job, always generating money. When I had my business, I took a business from scratch and I made a good organization. I used to have up to 30 employees. But all of a sudden, things really went down the drain. And that gave me, of course, a lot of anxiety. And I started searching for God. Oh, my God. I saw almost like if I was outside in the street naked, what am I going to do? There was no possibility of getting business together. I will open one office, and a couple of years later, that office was closed. I will move from one place to another. It didn't work. Nothing will work on my life. And one day, a friend of mine came to visit, and we did a cleansing. She called that a cleansing with some incense, and she did a prayer. And I remember seeing her with so much power and energy leading me into a prayer. And at that moment, I remember the book came into my life, The Course in Miracles, came into my vision. So from that moment on, I embraced A Course in Miracles in a way that I have not really left it. It's still such an important part of me. And I found Pathways of Light in 2012. I went through very slowly, took my time to do all the process to become an ordained minister. But finally, in 2013 and 2014, I've been already ordained, but the whole business went down the drain. Had to close, lost a lot of money, a lot of money. I thought I was going to die. And my husband and I decided to get a job. And we said, okay, whoever gets a job first will support the other one. I tried in Florida, but the economy was so bad that I will be lucky if I get a $50,000 job. And that will not cut it because we had a big house. And no, we needed more than that. So he received an offer to work here in Texas. And we didn't even know anything about Beaumont, Texas. We came here one day, saw this, the town. I thought I did my due diligence in asking about where is Beaumont, Texas, but I really didn't because we were desperate. So I said, okay, if you get this job, it looks like we can make it. It's going to give us enough money to pay all the debt that we have. And maybe I get a job there. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. I support you. So we came here with our eyes closed. Oh, my goodness. This was an experience. This was an experience because it's totally different. It's totally different from where we come. We come from, first of all, I'm very Colombian, very Latin. And South Florida is the capital for Latin America, because over there you have people from all over the world, most particularly people from Latin America. There is a lot of Europeans, Canadians, you know, French, Germans. However, the biggest foreign population in South Florida is from Latin America. The Cubans, the Brazilians, Argentinians, Colombians, and when you go to South Florida, it's a different world. Actually, in South Florida, there is a place called Hialeah that used to be a Jewish community back in the 1960s, I imagine. But Hialeah is Cuban. It's Cuban, and you have to speak Spanish to make it in Hialeah, because most people don't even know English. But anyhow, we came here to Texas, and Texas, where we are, I understand that it is part of what is called the Bible Belt. And I never had any inclination for the Bible, never understand it, and I never wanted to understand it. Because I had like an inner feeling that God is not what the religion tells us, not what the Catholic Church tells us. And I used to see the Christian movement as a bunch of crazy people that, I don't know, there was no logic, no sense to me. I saw fanatism more than anything. So that was something that never appealed to myself. So here I am in Beaumont, Texas. Almost in every corner you have a Christian church. It's a lot of Baptist churches. Catholicism is not as big, but you have huge Catholic churches in here. So what do we do today? My husband was making fun because on Sunday we go to church and the service lasts almost 3 hours and that's it. We come home and Sunday is over. There is not much to do. It's very different. However, As I used to complain about Beaumont, Texas, I must share something that is wonderful, is extraordinary. Because of the fact that I end up spending a lot of time at home, I study all these different paths. I study the Course in Miracles. I teach a Course in Miracles. I teach meditation. I finalized my training as a Reiki master, and I do healing sessions. I get people that call me from different parts, Mexico, you know, different parts in Latin America. And I think that even though when we were in Florida, I kind of complained to God, because I felt when we came to Texas that I was pulled by my hair. Holy Spirit pulled me by my hair and lift me up and dump me in Texas. And I was like, oh, wow, what's going on? Why me? And I feel annoyed. I was, no, this is not right. This is not fair. That was my word, my reaction. I remember when I first got here, my hair was very, very long. And I didn't know why. I mean, I don't remember. I there must have been a reason. But I went into the bathroom, for there must have been some argument or something going on between my husband and I cut my hair. I cut my hair. And I said, oh, my goodness. And I went online, and this is self-mutilation. So anyhow, this story is so silly. But it's so powerful to me, because here I am dedicated totally to raise my consciousness. And the biggest lesson that I have received at my age, at 60 years of age, that there is a higher force that sustains me, that is love, and that my biggest priority in my life right now is to understand this is what it is, and that my choice, my only choice, is to align my will with the will of love. If there is going to be love in my world, I need to open up myself, the essence of what I am, to be a channel for that love. That when I give that love away, I receive it for myself. I keep that in me and I give it away. So A Course in Miracles makes a lot of sense. The teachings of Jiddu Krishnamurti totally make sense to me and invite me to teach that, because I know when I teach that to other people, I teach that to myself. All I've been gone as far as to read Ramta. I remember a cousin of mine was reading Ramta, and I said, wow, this girl is crazy. Now, I read a few years ago, a couple of years ago, I read the Ramta. I forgot what's the name of this book. I don't remember, but it is a magnificent book, because it tells the story of this entity called Ramta, what happened, how he ascended, and it gives me such a perspective on how we are meant to be when we go back to love, when we wake up in our everyday of our thinking, of consciousness, that we are one. And quantum physics makes so much sense to me. There is no difference in what the ancient wisdom has give us that legacy of knowledge and what we learn today from books such as A Course in Miracles or A Course of Love or any other higher channel material. Because I've been also reading, listening to even an entity called Crayon. Oh, you read Ramta in the 60s. Well, I just read it a couple of years ago, and I loved it. I love it. It gives me, and I'm here in Texas, and I just like, what am I complaining? This is the biggest gift that the divine could have given me. Because if I was running a business, or if I was working in the banking industry, I wouldn't have time to do this. And you know what? The biggest thing that I also learned is that God is my support. In line with God is my support, I learned that I don't need to struggle for money. Money is important, and I love to have money. But I lost so much money, I thought I was going to die. Literally, I was going to be naked on the street. It didn't happen because we don't need. The Course tells us that we buy stuff and we buy more and more stuff. Yeah, it's nice to have beautiful clothes and, you know, nice perfume, dressed up. I love to dress up. But, you know, that's not my priority. Money is not my God. Sickness is not my God. That's not who I am. When I allow the love of God to be in me, I'm taken care of. And yeah, I don't have any scarcity. I'm doing a teaching on abundance based on all the lessons of within A Course in Miracles that talk about abundance. Abundance is everywhere, but we need to come to the consciousness of oneness. I remember in one of the trainings of LifeSpring, we did an exercise called win-win. The message was win-win. If you win, I win. But if I win and you lose, I'm losing. That is something that the ego world does not understand. An abundance from the perspective of all this beautiful spiritual path tells us this. I'm going to a Christian church here in Texas. It's called Abundant Life. Pastor has so much passion, and he is all about the Bible. And I'm doing a Bible class with him. I never thought myself reading the Bible, but you know what? It's so much beauty within the Bible. It's just that maybe I wasn't ready to understand the Bible, to understand what it is. And so what I wanted to share with you guys is that there is one force that is who we are. We need to get our full attention to manifest the love that created us. That's my biggest priority. And that no matter what happens to us, no matter what we think, what the ego think is happening, we'd always sustain by love. I always preach that God is not a singular, that God is not an entity, that God is plural, that God is not outside because God is inside. And God lives through me. God lives through you. Time is going so fast. I wanted to share a beautiful song that I got during my live spring training that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm going to just give us time to listen to this. I'm going to put it in the background. I hope it's not, it's called The Rose This was serenaded to me during the trainings. I wanted to you guys to get these words. And if you can close your eyes, if I pay attention to these words, tears will come to my eyes. Well, I wanted to show with all of you a little bit of my journey. I really, really appreciate all the time that you gave me listening. And I know that we all have a journey. Some of us have an easier journey. Some of us have a more difficult one. The thing is that wherever we are, the circumstances in our life are just opportunities for us to open our hearts to what we are, because we are love. And that unites us is love. We call it the love of God, and that is okay, is the love of God. But we will be slaves of the mentality of the world, what we call the ego world, if we don't pay attention, if we don't know that there is a force of love. And it's a mindfulness, it's a practice that we need to be conscious and aware. Where are we taking our minds? How are we living our lives? And little by little, the more that we connect with this energy of love, our lives are transformed. And we change, like the Bible says, we create a metamorphosis. We change our experience from fear to a happy dream. That's what the Course in Miracles also tells us. So no matter where you are in your life, no matter where I am in this path, we will wake up. This is just a dream. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. May God bless you. May the Holy Spirit strengthen that connection with the divine. And I will see you again on Wednesday. Okay, I think my time is up. So I am going to release the mic. Good night.